Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.
All right, and back with you as promised. Wes Blakey and Joel Hansen joining us this morning. City Council did meet last night, and we're kind of wrapping up all the revisions in the city code book. So Joel's the expert on that. Wes just does what Joel tells him to.
I do, Dan. I do. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Okay.
Well.
Beautiful day outside.
Absolutely. Whole week.
Yeah, yeah. I should ask. It's summer is going to be here this weekend. Are we ready electrical wise?
Oh, absolutely. What are you insinuating, Dan?
Well, you know, we sometimes have to put out these announcements. Please
back off.
Back off your usage. Yeah.
No, we're good. We're good, and you know, unless something, you never know what'll happen throughout the system. That's the. The different thing now, you know, than it was 10 years ago, being part of the SPP, a bigger system, mm-hmm. they control some of that, and they tell you, like what happened with this polar event,
yeah,
when they were telling you to back off usage and stuff. It's not just was before NPPD telling you those types of things, and now it's a bigger organization. So the good and the bad of being involved with others, it's just you gotta comply with what they're doing. So
okay.
But no, should be
we're looking
should be
good to get the season started.
Use
yeah.
those air conditioners. Do remember that you will have a surcharge, if you will, for the event that we had.
Right.
So for every 1,000 kilowatts of power you use, it'll be an extra $12.40. Just know that going in.
Okay.
But again, your total bill depends on how much you use. It'll only be what you use. So.
Yeah. Was this on this last one?
Yes, it was.
It seems like it wasn't very much.
You should see two. Thank you for saying. Yeah, there should be two lines that say electrical usage and your kilowatt hours, and then it'll also then say what the PCA is.
Yeah. So, yep. It wasn't on. It wasn't. I remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't very much.
I think mine was $7, $7 or $8 or so for my
usage. I'm sure you probably use more than me because I'm never home.
I might. I mean, family of five. Yeah, I mean, so. Yep. But if you have questions on that, just call. Melody would be glad to help you with that.
Okay. All right. Well, where do you want to begin council-wise? Are we starting with Joel or are we starting with something else?
You know, his stuff is towards the end. You can run through mine and then we can give it over to him or okay. however you want to do it.
That's fine with me.
I can just be quiet now and you can listen about to building codes.
No, we'll let Joel listen for a while.
Well, he can jump in and correct me. So, like I like to do with the mayor.
Well, he was probably there listening for most of
it. He was. He was, and he was running our Zoom last night.
Really?
But we had zero people. Yeah,
no customers.
No okay. customers. He gets paid on commission, so he got nothing last night.
He's going to have to start recruiting more, I guess.
There we go.
But a nice segue into we are still Zooming our meetings.
And you were in the council chambers.
We were. Yep. We're back there. So Zoom is, we're kind of treating it more like, almost like public television. You can tune into mm-hmm. it, but we're not allowing you to communicate back unless you're a presenter or something like that.
Like C-SPAN.
Yep, exactly. We are the C-SPAN.
Okay.
We have C-SPAN.
It's Wayne SPAN.
Wayne SPAN. Yep. So, no, one of the first agenda items was a reminder and announcement of a town hall meeting next Tuesday night.
Right.
We had an attitude survey be conducted.
Is that closed
it
now?
It is closed.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And I just got word this morning we had 148 respondents. Okay. So last night I think I made some comment that we had 83 and I was sure hoping for 150. We got 148, so that's pretty darn close to what my goal mm-hmm. was. So thanks to all of those who filled that survey out. Next Tuesday night we'll go over that data, I think, briefly. The bigger reason for the town hall is to talk more about renovations of the old bathhouse. And that area up there, that park up there, and how we can make it a trailhead, connect it onto the new trail segment there, and all of that, and kind of develop that area. So,
remind people exactly where that is.
Yep, that's going to be at the Activity Center.
The bathhouse.
Let's first let's go with the meeting is at 7 o'clock next Tuesday night at the Community Activity Center, council meetings used to be
right.
a month ago.
You got plenty of room.
Yes, the old bathhouse up the old swimming pool park.
Right.
We still call it that. But the Versa Court, right across from the bowling alley, that area. Guys have done some demo work inside, and so we're ready for the next step. We're stopping demo work so we can try to get grant funds to do the next phase there. So, but no, if you have any comments or concerns about that area and what we'd like to do with that bathhouse, please attend that community meeting. It shows well if we have attend a lot of people there. Then our grant writer can put in we had X amount of people. It just shows public participation in that. Yep. The grant funders like that. So.
And if you don't show up and participate, then don't complain when they do something you don't want done.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you can still complain, Dan. But if you have any ideas, if you can't attend the meeting and you still would like to see certain things in that building or around that building, just give us an email or a call and we'll get that communicated back as well.
Okay. So. And Joel will make sure it's all up to city code.
There we go. Yep. Well, and that building is structurally sound, you say, right?
Yep. That's good block building, so.
Yeah, it just needs some, well, we took it doesn't say swimming pool on it anymore, so that's good. Mm-hmm. And so, no, it, what do we say, is it about 1,700 square feet?
I believe so.
So it's a decent-sized building when it's all gutted. We're looking at, you know, community, like a community room, community space, a little kitchenette that you can come and have a family reunion. There's been some talk of like a three season porch out the west side. I don't know if it'd be enclosed with something or not, to be determined. That's why we want the input. So
okay,
stay tuned for that. But yes, next Tuesday at 7:00 at the Activity Center. Then the boring things like minutes and claims that went through fine. Mike Puicki was at the meeting to ask for a streets closure for the Kiwanis Club omelet feed for Chicken Show. It was something we usually do all together, and this one, I think, got missed, and so we just had to do that again. Okay. So that's going to be 2nd Street, half of 2nd Street to the alley. They've done this, well, not last year, pre-COVID. They've done this before, so nothing really changing on that with the omelet feed. And then it will be open back up after the parade is over, or once it starts. Maybe that's how the wording was. We had, I'll let Joel take over now. We had the third and final reading of, zoning change, or not zoning, that's the next one, the building code. We had some changes, some amendments made, and Joel can talk about that with, temporary occupancy permits and that. So I will not mess anything up anymore and let Joel have it.
Yeah, Wes and Cale have tried to explain this over the last couple of months, but now we can get the real story.
It's riveting radio, Dan.
There you go. Here's the exciting stuff, right? So basically, the International Code Council puts out building code editions every 3 years. And so we don't adopt necessarily every edition, but we are currently on the 2012 version, so we're trying to update to the 2018. So we have building codes for commercial buildings, building codes for residential buildings, and then you have specialty codes for mechanical, plumbing, property maintenance, those types of things. So we're basically updating all of those codes to the 2018 version. And the big changes, as Wes mentioned, probably rely around temporary occupancy. And this is only for single-family homes and duplexes. It's not for commercial buildings, but... over the years, I've gotten some complaints where people that are, especially maybe people that are trying to do more of the work themselves, don't get done quite on time, but they move into the house and it sits there and they don't have the driveway paved yet. And so we've got gravel or whatever runs onto the street and the neighbors have to drive through it, or they don't have the house sited and it's sat there for 3 or 4 months and the moisture barrier is flapping in the wind and then the neighbors are a little upset. So we've kind of generated some of those complaints into our office over the last 5-6 years. And it's always a question as well, what can you do about it? And so once the people are in the house, it's a little difficult to try and tighten the screws to make things happen. And so what we came up with is for temporary occupancy, if you want to move in your house, you've got to comply with some things that basically are for life safety issues as well as for the betterment of the neighborhood. And so what we came up with, first thing is you got to have a house number on the front of the building so that if there's an emergency call, the ambulance, the fire rescue squad, they know where they're going. The exterior siding, not just the moisture barrier, has to be on the house. Your driveway has to be surfaced as required by the code. All smoke carbon monoxide detectors have to be installed per code. Handrails on all stairs are required by code. Hot water is available as required by code. One working sink, one working toilet, one working tub or shower. The front stoop stairs are completed. And the state electrical inspector must sign off on final approval. And then the last one is regards to decks, because we always see decks seem to be the last thing to go on the house. People maybe don't have the guardrail on them. There's concern, you know, if it's ground level deck that's just a foot or so off the ground, not such a big issue. But you've got a two-story house with a walkout basement, that deck might be 12 foot off the air. A little concerned if some kids get up on there. So the requirement there is if you're over 30 inches above the adjacent grade, your deck must have guardrails installed as required by code, or else the access to the deck is denied by removing the operational hardware from an exterior door entering the deck, or by other means to prevent the door from being unlocked and opened. And then also, if there's some stairs or something coming up from the ground to get on that deck, you must have the guardrails on before you can have that stairway access. So, and just to be clear, Dan, this is for new construction, that right. people that don't have permits. If somebody's in the middle of building their house right now, they follow under the old rules we had established, so that these changes do not impact them. This is just if you walk into our office after July 1st and want a building permit to build a house, you're now going to have to comply with those rules. And the other
and big, to get it, and, how do you?
And the other big change to that is, in order to get that temporary occupancy permit, you're going to have to put down an additional $1,000 as a deposit that you will get back once everything is completed on the house.
So that to kind of guarantee you do get the work done eventually.
Yeah. So unfortunately, it only takes two or three instances for us to change our rules, but these seemed reasonable, and a lot of them we already had in place as far as the life safety stuff. We would not grant you a temporary occupancy if you didn't have hot water and working toilets and smoke detectors, things like that. Those are safety issues we already require. This just now puts those written in the code so that it's more of just policy. It's not just administrative policy. It's now written requirements in the code.
Also talk a little bit about the building permits and how we're going to handle those going forward, the 2-year time frame.
Yep. So the other issue we've had, and this is more so maybe for a remodel project, is where somebody gets a permit and they keep calling for extensions and the work's not getting done, and maybe it was a small addition on the house, but same issue. There's Tyvek flapping in the wind and the neighbors are complaining. So basically we've put a 2-year time limit on your permit. So let's say you come and get a permit, and the fee for that permit was $500, and you had to put down a $500 deposit, and so you've got $1,000 wrapped up in it, and 2 years comes, and you're still not done. At that point, we're going to close out your permit, and you're going to lose not only the fee but the deposit, so you're out the $1,000 completely, and to start working again, you've got to apply for a new permit with a new deposit on top. So
no extensions.
So no extensions.
Okay.
So 2 years seemed like a reasonable time for somebody to complete a project. I mean, that's plenty of time, even if you're starting from scratch with a brand new house. So that's now on there.
Yes. And there are different rules that apply to new building versus renovations.
Yes. Yep.
And that's all in the code.
It's all in the code.
And so if you have a question about it, Joel's the person to ask about it. Before you try doing something, talk to Joel to make sure you don't have to start over again and that kind of
thing. It's always easier. It's you know, a lot of times people think it's easier to ask for permission or for forgiveness than permission. Afterwards, but actually it's not, because when it comes to the government rules, there's fines in place. And especially when you get people involved with the state electrical office, there's no forgiveness. It's if you have to tear off the sheetrock and redo it, you're going to tear off the sheetrock and redo it. There's just no questions asked.
All the contractors know all the rules, but if you're doing it yourself, that's the main thing.
That's the tricky part. Usually you rely on your contractor, but you're right. When they're trying to do it themselves, and then my father-in-law has done this before and he said he'd help, or, you know, we hear those things. It's like, well, we try and give them extra guidance as to, well, make sure you check out this part of the code, or go to this page and make sure you're following that, or talk to a contractor if you need to.
Okay.
I would say the other big change in our property maintenance code that a lot of people are going to maybe got by surprise is they now make smoke detector systems that are connected together by wireless.
Yes.
So they talk to each other. So if your smoke detector goes off in the basement, the one up in your upstairs bedroom is also going off. So in the past, there's not been a requirement to do that unless you renovated such that you gutted the structure and you could get to place wiring. Well, now, because of the fact they make these wireless systems, anytime you change ownership or tenant occupancy, we're now going to require you to upgrade to the wireless connection of the smoke detectors. And that's something that Norfolk's done, and we felt that was a good idea. It's really a big safety issue. That extra 30 seconds, 60 seconds, whatever, is to wake up your groggy and get somebody out of that house. That can save a life. So we thought that was definitely a necessary change.
Well, you mentioned when you change ownership, so like if I sold my house, am I responsible to making sure it's all installed?
Yep.
Yep. Explain to the new owner that this is another expense you're going to have to deal with. Is that generally how we're talking about?
Yeah. So I'll go to that section real quick.
Because I don't have that right now.
And I don't think a lot of people probably do, on the older homes especially.
It makes it makes a lot of sense. You know, you had sure. one in your house for the entire house. I mean, the old system, and it just makes a lot of sense to have them all interconnected.
Yep, and it is the current owner of the property that's supposed to verify before they sell it.
Okay.
So you're good unless you sell, Dan.
Okay, I'll try not to die.
Well, if you sell, we're coming after you. Just know that.
All right. And hopefully we have all that clear. If not, you know.
There are copies of the code books available.
I was going to say, that was my next question.
At the library. So there is copies of those. And then any changes we made to those codes are listed in the city website where we list the codes. They can go in there and look up this ordinance and list all the changes we're discussing.
I think I'd rather read a good Sherlock Holmes novel, but all right.
I wouldn't recommend it unless you're actually needing to build a house.
You really need to go to sleep.
You know, the mayor made a comment last night about, you know, our really government work here, because we did have the three readings on this. We had an extension on one. We staff actually came to the council and said, we recommend no temporary occupancy permits. Just don't do it. Again, patterning ourselves after Norfolk, they're not allowing them. Mm-hmm. Don't allow them. So the council's like, yeah, we've had people talk to us about this, and we think you should probably allow it, but we should have some teeth into it. And so I think it was a good compromise in the end, that we still have the temporary occupancy permit, but I think the regulations are much tighter, and hopefully we have better compliance, and people are happier in general. Neighbors are happier, and contractors can abide by it. So yeah, I think it was a good discussion.
Sounds good. If you have questions, make sure you call the city and ask before you get in trouble.
Yep, absolutely.
On everything, Dan, not just building. Always call the city before you get in trouble.
All right.
You want to continue next?
Sure.
All right. We had a zoning map change. This is a property that we refer to as the old tree dump, the old community garden area, tree farm, and then also the upper rugby fields. There's 8 acres that about a year ago it was replatted. This 8 acres off. And then we also changed the future land use map to have the future be residential down there, but we didn't rezone it at the time. So now we're going through that process of rezoning. It passed on second reading last night. There's been some back and forth on whether it should stay in, it's currently industrial, if it should stay industrial in the hands of the city, or it should go residential. So there'll be one more reading on that. So if you have thoughts either way on that, please let us know. I've said this before, that I won't advocate us selling that property if it stays industrial. I don't think anything good can come of somebody putting industry along 4th Street in a residential area. I am a proponent of making it a residential.
We have plenty of room other places for.
We're tight on residential space. We're tight on industrial. We're tight on land under the city control. But we have other developers out there that own property that can
right.
can develop into industrial as well, I believe. So we've got, I think, 40 acres out in the industrial park proper right now, 40, and then you could add the 19 that we sold to Williams Form that is not, they're utilizing it a little more on the industrial side, but we've got probably 40 acres out in the industrial park that could be bought and sold and parceled off and have industry out there. So, okay. But yeah, we're short on land all over. I mean, those types of zoned properties. So if you're in the market of selling, let us know if there's property that could be developed into that. Or so the next one was, so anyway, there'll be a third reading on that next meeting. The following ordinance 2021-10 was more of a cleanup where we allow telecommunication companies to put in telecommunication equipment and huts and things like that in all residential areas except R4. So it was missed in the code. It's allowed in 1, 2, 3, and 5, but not in 4. And so we had somebody actually inquiring about it, and it happened to be the property they were looking at was in R4. And I was like, yeah, it's not allowed. And so we made that change on that. There'll be a third reading on that as well, but there's been no controversy on that one at all. Like I said, just more of housekeeping. Following ordinance was actually three readings were waived. It was an emergency LB from the legislature. Mike Flood put it in, LB 83. was for virtual conferencing, kind of for COVID-related stuff to allow public meetings to have virtual conferencing. And so that was passed last night, and the three readings were waived, so it allows us to do a few more things. We're going to continue doing what we're doing. We obviously allow people in City Hall. We've already talked about the Zoom function. And so, again, that was more of a housekeeping bill as well, housekeeping ordinance. Resolution adopting city administrator employment agreement, that was tabled. The mayor and council president need to still do an evaluation with the city administrator, so they'll take that up at the next meeting.
And he's very contentious.
Well, we were confused as staff with that many. He was unemployed, but he showed up for work this morning, so I guess he's still my boss.
I guess I'm working not under an agreement at this point. So
it's a gentleman's agreement.
There we go. Which many administrators have. So it's not a big deal. I did not throw a fit last night. Either way. So and then the last agenda item was they set a mini retreat date for the end of June, June 29th, 5:30 at the fire hall. We always say these are obviously open to the public. Public is welcome to attend. But these sessions are more for council to have a little more in-depth discussion with themselves and the mayor, as well as staff, about issues that we just can't get into at regular meetings. We can, but we don't want the meetings to last 4 or 5 hours every time. So this is a good chance for that more in-depth discussion. Again, public's welcome to attend. We just don't always allow a lot of public comment at those retreats.
Okay. Anticipate anything in particular you'll be talking about then?
You know, there's this area south of the treatment plant. The lagoon might come up, Dan. We might talk about the lagoon a little more. I'm assuming lagoon. Housing has been on everybody's mind the last few years. Businesses that are needing more employment. Mm-hmm. And where does that start? It probably starts on the housing end. So I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that. Last time we even talked about daycare, that daycare is getting to be an issue with some employers can't find enough daycare. So those types of things that we'll throw out there. I don't know about any major code changes. The mayor's talked about some zoning changes, about like community-wide zoning at times. We'll probably talk about annexation again, because that's been put on the kind of the back burner through COVID. So I'm sure annexation will come up again as well. So
okay,
they're always large. They're big topics. There's topics that take a lot of discussion. I don't think we'll talk about dogs or cats or parking, at least that I'm aware of.
Yeah, chickens. We haven't talked about parking the last couple of times.
Yeah, it'll come back, Dan. Don't worry. Stay tuned.
All right. Well, before we say goodbye, you want to mention the meeting next Tuesday one more time?
Yeah, you bet. Town hall meeting next Tuesday, 7 o'clock at the Community Activity Center to talk about our community attitude survey that we just had, some data from that, as well as the old bathhouse and what we want to do with that up across from the bowling alley. The other thing is we have a small baby pool up there that I didn't let the guys take out. And of course, they were very happy with me because now we get to fill it with sand because it's filled up with debris, water.
Wayne's biggest kitty litter box.
I know. But if it's gone, we can't ever reuse it. So if you have ideas to reuse a baby pool, I don't know if that's a water feature. You know, we talked about splash pads, which the council has kind of said, we're not into splash pads. I call it a recreational fountain. If you just have water spouting up, if people want to play around in it. But I don't know if that'll go anywhere. We've talked about a fire pit. The Wayne's largest fire pit. I don't know. I think there's a few different things you could do with it, but I think in the end it'll probably get ripped up and I'll have egg on my face for making them keep it for at least another year.
Yeah, I think a wishing well type fountain would be cool.
Yeah.
We can make some extra money that way.
Absolutely. Too. Absolutely. Because nobody would grab the spare change in there. A koi pond, maybe.
There we go. Dan, I would like to quick add. Last year, the city overtook the west driveway of the cemetery. It leads up to the city water tower.
Mm-hmm.
The contractor is moving in today to start doing some sawing on that driveway, and they will be removing the west driveway starting tomorrow. So if anybody's wanting to get decorations back off graves on that west, along that west drive, tonight would be their best option to get out there if they don't want to have to walk a little bit farther.
Yeah, you have to go an alternate route to get there.
Yep.
It'll be a great addition once it's a great improvement once it's done. And do we have a time frame on that?
I think they're thinking within 2 or 3 weeks they'll be out of there. So.
Okay. Yeah, cemetery is looking good.
Yep. It looked very nice. Yeah, the crew did a great job this year on that. Not that they haven't in the past, but yeah, this year it looked very nice.
Okay. Trail's looking good, too. I noticed a lot of people going by when I drive by.
Yeah, grass is coming through. It's slow. It's slow, but need a few more rains and some warmer weather, and hopefully it'll start popping a little more.
All right. I'll let you guys get back to work then.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
Wes Blakey, Joel Hansen again, our guests today on The View from Wayne, America.
Been listening to The View from Wayne, America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC. The View from Wayne.